But first, as always on a Sunday, our panel is here to take a first look at Sunday's papers. And I'm joined this morning by Sinead O'Donnell, Communications Consultant with Carr Communications. Sinead, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. And Christina Finn, Political Correspondent at thejournal.ie. Christina, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, it's obvious that it is wall-to-wall coverage of the developments in the coronavirus. It was a little bit too late for some of the front pages, but it is in most of the pages this morning. You will have heard at this stage that a first case of coronavirus has been confirmed in the Republic of Ireland. Confirmation of this coming last night. We might have a listen to Dr. Tony Holohan, Chief Medical Officer with the Department of Health, speaking at a briefing that was held last night.
The diagnosis relates to a male in the east of the country and arises as a result of return from one of the affected areas that's been identified, and in this particular case, the north of Italy. We've been preparing for this eventuality for months, and I've been saying for some time that a case arising here is not unexpected and in and of itself wouldn't lead to any change in our policies or procedures. We know that the individual in this case has obviously followed advice, listened to the advice that we've put out, in relation to the symptoms, in relation to the travel from affected areas, and identified themselves to the authorities, which enabled the diagnosis to be made. We expect, on the basis of the experience in other jurisdictions, that we have a high likelihood of containing the cases here, with the infection prevention control arrangements that will be put in place around the case that we are managing, and we expect similarly in relation to Northern Ireland. We have a high degree of confidence about that, so it doesn't change our view in relation to that spread.
And that was Dr. Tony Holohan, Chief Medical Officer with the Department of Health, speaking at that briefing last night. As I say, it is the front page story in a lot of the papers this morning. Christina, let me come to you first. The Sunday Times, first COVID-19 case confirmed in the Republic. A lot of detail in this piece. Colin Coyle and John Mooney have it this morning.
Yeah, they go into a good bit of detail about how the country's kind of going to, you know, contain this. I suppose people haven't called it an outbreak yet, and it should be very careful to state that there's a low likelihood of anyone catching it from casual contact. That's exactly what Tony Holohan said last night. But it does go into a bit more detail about how they hope to deal with some of the cases. So Health Minister Simon Harris had signed a statutory instrument designating COVID-19 as an infectious disease under the Health Act of 1947. So this is just kind of putting it on a footing that if somebody does present, there is mechanisms there to isolate somebody, to detain them if possible, if they do try and leave a hospital. It goes into a bit more detail about the Gardaí on standby to help detain infected people if they refuse to leave hospital, and also the defence forces. But I think it's important to state that this is obviously a very much a last resort. Not to be panicking anybody that this is the sort of escalation that we're at. Last night they were very keen to stress at that briefing that none of the procedures have changed because of this.
Like, it was inevitable. What the confirmation we got last night, we knew that there would be a case eventually in the Republic.
They said that throughout the week, that you know, when there's an outbreak there in Italy, on, you know, in Europe, that it was just a matter of time before it came to our shores, and that the advice still remains the same in terms of washing your hands, doing all you can just to minimise any sort of likelihood of infection. But, you know, that hasn't really stopped people from, you know, stocking up and all the rest, and panic setting in.
Yeah, well, in some places. Like I was saying yesterday, once you tell people not to panic, the first thing they do is panic. I suppose for people who maybe didn't hear the detail of this story last night, as you heard Tony Holohan say there, the man is from the eastern part of the country. He is receiving medical care. This is a case that is associated with travel from an affected area in northern Italy rather than contact with another confirmed case. And they are now making efforts to try to identify, I suppose, and to locate anybody who may have come in contact with this man, whether it be on the plane in close contact, whether he may have been on the plane or whether he took public transport once he got back into Dublin. Obviously, it will take some time for that to happen. So I suppose today, for people, anybody who has taken a flight, I guess, from Northern Italy over the past couple of weeks, you know, you will wait on a phone call, because, you basically don't want your phone to ring in this scenario.
Yeah, and there have been cases, I think, from that woman from Northern Ireland. They were contacting people that had been on the plane, but, you know, not to be concerned that they might have been, you know, 15
back or
and that not to be concerned that really it was just people in your immediate vicinity. So I think people automatically think that if you're on that plane, that there's a high likelihood that those people are going to catch the infection, but that apparently is not the case in terms of authorities have been contacting people that were on that plane and not necessarily testing them because the likelihood is very low that they would have caught the COVID-19.
Christina, other detail in this piece in the Sunday Times in relation to what's going to happen this week and developments with regard to big public meetings and whether there might be some advice given in terms of if you want to have people together of 1,000 people mm-hmm. or 5,000 people or whatever it might be. So we might get a little bit more detail of that later in the week.
Yeah, so other countries have put a ban in place on some large scale events from 1,000 to 5,000 people. I think France is one of them, and the government is going to discuss whether that should be done in this case. Obviously we saw the rugby game being cancelled. There's talk about the St. Patrick's Day parade, but then obviously on the flip side of that, whether you cancel events and people have already planned to come here, travel hasn't been banned in any way. So, you know, are you banning large scale events because you don't want people to congregate in one area, but then people are still going to come? So I suppose they're going to have to be discussion about whether that's actually going to have
yeah, there'll probably be a development of that. This piece also tells us that Sam McConkie, you will know him, he's the Associate Professor of International Health and Tropical Medicine at the Royal College of Surgeons. He is calling on political parties to suspend any government formation talks until we deal with the virus. He is going to join me a little later on the programme, so we will chat to him about that. Sinead, let me come to you. Sunday Independent, it is the front page story as well. First virus case, hunt for contacts. I guess this focusing in on the fact that this is what we'll be waiting to hear, I guess, today. This is, we will want to start hearing that people have been in contact with if they came in close contact with this latest person who has COVID-19.
Absolutely. And I have to say the HSE should be commended for their communication and the way they have communicated so effectively with people. And that's the most important thing, I suppose. Like Christina was saying, if you're on an aeroplane coming from a high risk affected area, make it known to the authorities. And that's what was so good in this instance with this gentleman who arrived into Dublin Airport yesterday. You know, he straight away he went to the authorities, even though I believe he wasn't feeling too ill, apparently. And that's the scary thing about this illness, is that you don't actually have to be presenting with any symptoms to actually have the illness. So if you're coming from a high risk area, make it known to your to the public health authorities, and then they can test, and then
yeah, there will be some people who will have coronavirus and they will never know that they had coronavirus because the symptoms will be so mild that they won't know. Just to come back to the Maeve Sheehan's piece, there's some interesting detail here that she has in relation to the cabinet expected to discuss those measures to contain the virus, which we spoke about a moment ago, but also facilities for self isolating in the event that this virus does spread here, and whether we're equipped, I guess, in this country to be able to do that. What's the proposal here?
So the proposal here is that newly commissioned nursing homes may be used, or other facilities like colleges and universities across the state could be used as spaces for people to self-isolate as a precaution. Now, the Cabinet and the government are stressing, and the HSE are stressing, that they wouldn't be used to look after sick people who are ill, but it would be potentially somewhere where people could self-isolate. Because I suppose one of the scary things is listening to one of the consultants from Sligo General Hospital during the week. He said that there's only one isolation room, for example, in Sligo General Hospital, and I know that in many hospitals across the country that is the case. They only have one or two isolation rooms. So if there was to be a widespread situation where, you know, like Italy, where there's over 1,000 cases, you know, how are we actually going to deal with that? And also in Maeve Sheehan's piece, they're talking about the cabinet is going to meet this week to discuss measures to contain the virus, such as curtailing public events, such as maybe the cancellation of St. Patrick's Day events around the country. That hasn't been ruled out. And I suppose we saw the same thing happening back in 2001 when Foot and Mouth came to this country. There was widespread cancellation of many events, such as Cheltenham, such as many St. Patrick's Day events were cancelled. And so, you know, there will be a cost, I suppose, involved in terms of containing this virus. And that might happen. And I suppose it's a wait and see game.
Yeah, I think once once events become closer to us and they're in that incubation period of 2 weeks, then I suppose the focus kind of is put on them more directly. Sinead, also the Irish Mail on Sunday, its front page story, it has been speaking to the taxi driver that collected the first case of COVID-19 on the island of Ireland. This woman from Belfast who flew from Northern Italy into Dublin and then travelled on to Belfast. What has the taxi driver been saying to the Mail on Sunday?
Yes, so this is an exclusive in today's Mail on Sunday. I suppose every media outlet was trying to find someone related to this woman in some shape or form. But what it tells us is that he picked her up at 2 o'clock outside the airport. He brought her to Conlee. He brought her then, she was going to get on the Enterprise train to Belfast. It was a woman and a child, he said about 10 or 11 years of age. She was in her 40s, he believed. And he said that she was in great form. Both of them seemed to be very excited. They were full of beans. And, you know, so again, like I said, that's the scary thing with this illness. There's some lovely details in here about the taxi driver has said, you know, that he did get the fright of his life when he got the phone call from the Gardaí saying,
and he was picked up on CCTV outside. They were able to identify that he was the taxi driver because CCTV picked him up collecting this woman.
Exactly, they had picked it up on CCTV. The Gardaí got in touch with him and said, "Is it okay if the HSE, if we pass on your number to the HSE, to give you a call?" They gave him a call, and
He's well,
and they've been in touch with him ever since. And he said, actually, which is kind of funny, some of the quotes are funny in this. He said, "All I'm doing is watching Netflix movies and falling asleep. If anything, all of this has made me realise that I really needed to rest, and it's the best rest that I've had in years." And there's some people maybe listening this morning who are thinking secretly, "God, I hope I actually get that call."
A little because bit of self isolation can go a long way when you're busy.
Well, if it means 14 days off, great.
Christina, let me come back to you because Sinead alluded to it there, but there is a very, I guess, thin line to be struck here in terms of making sure that the public get the information that they should get and there isn't sort of a broad sense of worry, like everyone who's ever been to Italy has to worry. But at the same time, people's privacy has to be respected. And the Business Post front page this morning kind of focuses in on that. And the difference, I guess, between the way it's being dealt with here in Ireland and the way it's been dealt with across the waters in the UK and some of the knock-on effects that it's having there.
Yeah, the Sunday Business Post touches on, I suppose, the balance between, you know, the public health aspect and the privacy of the patients. In England, I know that more details have been released about the patients, which has resulted in media outlets camping outside hospitals that they suspect the patient is in, you know, obviously trying to track down relatives and all the rest to get the new line. But Tony Holland was, I think, questioned quite rigorously last night by reporters trying to get more details.
I watched it live and he really was, and you know, they were adamant not to give away any detail that would identify this person. They will only go as far as to say the east of the country. You know, I think at one point they weren't going to say gender. We did then find out this was a man and the first one was a woman, but absolutely.
Yeah, so it does, makes people question. People say, you know, "Oh, well, if I was on a plane or on a train, I have a right to know." But we do have to trust, I suppose, that the health services have this under control and they know what they're doing. They don't want to cause mass panic. If they say that this man was on a bus and then suddenly says, "Well, I was on a bus yesterday," and they all start ringing in, and suddenly you have to test. People are demanding, you know,
that they want to be tested,
700 or 800 tests
with no symptoms.
Exactly. So they say they will be getting in touch with people that are relevant to the case, and I suppose we just have to trust that the health services are on top of this. I think it does obviously bring into bear that they want more people to come forward like that man did. He followed the protocol.
And people will only do that if they feel like their identity will
Holden
be respected.
Holden said he wanted to, I think the words were, foster an environment in which people know they will be helped. People just aren't going to come forward
if they feel like they'll be exposed.
Exactly.
Below the fold on the Business Post, Vradkar raps Harris over his handling of the Six Nations postponement. As we know, that was announced that the match would probably be postponed on the 6-1 news. And again, on the top of the Business Post. Limerick firm goes 24/7 to meet huge demand for medical protective masks. Susan Mitchell and Aaron Rogan have that story on the front page of the Business Post. But I want to fly through to the political stories if we can. The poll, the Sunday Times poll, Sinn Féin, Christina, have their support certainly surging after the election.
Yeah, had, I suppose, the COVID-19 case not surfaced last night, this would have probably been the top story on the front there of the Sunday Times. A really interesting poll in terms of after the election results, seeing Sinn Féin dominate that poll with a 10-point rise. Fianna Fáil have some serious concerns as well, as Fine Gael down 2 points for Fianna Fáil and down 3 points for Fine Gael, putting them at 20 points for Fianna Fáil and 18 for Fine Gael. I think some of the parties in those government talks are going to reflect quite deeply on this poll, because, you know, there was a lot of discussion before the general election about Sinn Féin and what they were tapping into. The last 2 weeks has been relatively quiet in terms of, you know, the campaigning issues. You know, they're not the ones that are dominating the housing and the homelessness. Everyone's talking about the talks.
The talks or the rallies or, yeah.
Yeah, so they really have managed to pull it out of the bag. And this would be a serious concern if the speculation that is going around Leinster House of a possible second election. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will not want to head into a second one if that's the numbers that are coming out.
Completely. And Sinead, the front of the Sunday Independent, just very briefly, Hugh O'Connell writing to that effect as well in relation to a second election and how you know, pressure is going to be put on the Taoiseach to form a government with Fianna Fáil and make sure we don't end up back at the polls.
Yeah, and it's, you know, exactly that. Charlie Flanagan, Minister Charlie Flanagan, and Simon Coveney and the Health Minister Simon Harris are reported to be among the ministers who are currently putting pressure on Leo Varadkar to, you know, to form a government with Fianna Fáil. Leo Varadkar has said, you know, that's not the where he wants to go. But it's happening because sources are telling the Sunday Independent that they now believe a second election could happen. And I suppose when you look at what Sinn Féin has done this week in terms of the public meetings, in some respects you could say it's very clever, because you know, they are they're garnering more support and preparing in some respects.
A huge mistake, I think, for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil to come out hitting against those political meetings and calling them intimidation,
like,
of some sort.
They handed it over to them. Like, that criticism just handed such an advantage over. Listen, we're out of time. I do want to mention Boris Johnson and his fiancée are having a baby. Johnson in a Brexit baby boom. It's below the fold on the Sunday Times. I have to mention this quote inside the paper. It says the baby, who will be at least Johnson's sixth child, will be just the third born in Downing Street in 150 years. So unclear exactly how many. A quick supplement pick. What did you pick, Sinead? Anything catching your eye in the papers?
Yes, I was. It's actually the supplement, the connected supplement in the Sunday Business Post. There is a really good piece from Jason Walsh on bringing it all back home, talking about how Ireland can be a difficult environment to work in, but how you can achieve a work-life balance. And it looks at, obviously, technology. Connected is all about technology. And how remote working is working with many companies in Ireland, and how many companies now don't even have offices. So it's an interesting piece. And
which will suit us all to work from home and we have to all self-isolate. So we might read that today. Christina, what about you?
In the Sunday Independent Life magazine, Kelly Harrington runs through. She's the amateur lightweight boxer, runs through her day as she is preparing, hopefully, to qualify for the Olympics in Tokyo. So if you need some inspiration for your New Year's resolutions that aren't happening, she gets up at all hours to get training, and in bed by 10, sleep for 10:30 and back up at 6, I think, to start it all over again.
Woman.
So it's good inspirational read there.
Absolutely. Christina Finn, political correspondent at thejournal.ie, and Sinead O'Donnell, communications consultant with Carr Communications. Thank you both for coming in to me this morning.